So this morning's Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2 and 12 to 19. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And the New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, you would open our ears. Holy Spirit, come, stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The late Elizabeth Elliot said, suffering is never for nothing. And so we come back again to the terrible truth that there is suffering. The question remains, is God paying attention? If so, why doesn't he do something? I say he has, he did, he is doing something. And he will do something. Paul knew of the church at Rome. But when he wrote this letter, he hadn't been there yet. The church was evidently begun by Jews who'd come to faith during Pentecost, which we celebrated a couple of weeks ago. Paul felt a bond with these Roman brothers and sisters in Christ. This letter was sent to introduce himself and to also make a clear declaration of the faith. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. In this very first verse, we see the humility of the Apostle Paul. He could have easily addressed the Romans without including himself. He was not one for superiority or looking down on others. Justification through faith takes away the guilt and so makes way for peace. What does the word peace mean to you? For some, it might be time away from a busy family life. For others, it may be a walk in a forest surrounded by nature. Or maybe even doing gardening, if that's something you actually enjoy doing. In verse 1 of Romans 5, we are told that we have peace with God. Now, what does that mean? It means that we have been reconciled to Him. As Christians, that means there is no hostility between us and Jesus. There is no sin blocking our relationship with Him. That peace is only possible because of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I find that comforting. Sometimes though, we need to look at ourselves to see if we are putting any blockages between us and God. We can disrupt the peace that God gives us. Verse 2 refers to the grace in which we now stand, this state of favour, this goodness of God. God is willing to give us good gifts as His children, but we need to trust Him. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, we find that famous passage on love, often read at weddings. In it, we see that faith, hope, and love are at the heart of Christianity. Our relationship with God begins with faith. Hope develops as we learn all that God has in mind for us. Hope is an expectation, isn't it? It gives us the promise of the future. God's love fills our lives, and so in turn, that gives us the ability to reach out to others, to minister to others, and show God's love. Don't let a good crisis go to waste, said a house church leader in China. I recently listened to Eddie Lyle and Emma Worrell from Open Doors. China is number 23 on the Open Doors World Watch List, which documents the 50 most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. China, unfortunately, continues to rise up the world watch list. Eddie Lyle went on to tell a story about a man called Wang Ming Dao. He was identified as an evangelist. He was arrested and given 22 and a half years in prison. He was tortured and put into solitary confinement. After some time had passed, they said to him, if you make a promise not to tell others about Jesus, and if you sign this document, you will be freed. He signed the piece of paper. As he walked out of the prison, he realized what he had done. He went back into the prison, tore up the piece of paper, and said that he could never forsake his Saviour. He was put back into solitary confinement. And in that tiny cell, he could hear voices. They were coming from the pit toilet in the cell. this man started to preach the gospel. Over time, from 1955 onwards, he led 100 people to Christ and discipled them. When he was released from prison, in the free world, he said he hungered after his time in prison. He said he felt closer to Jesus, and that daily we should meet with Jesus and to be a people of faith, not fear. I wonder what it is that we hunger for in the free world. So often, persecuted Christians help us see hard circumstances through a different lens. I encourage you to have a look at Open Doors online to see how we can pray for their needs specifically at this time. Our next verses in our passage are challenging. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. To rejoice in our sufferings is a big ask. Paul doesn't hold back here. It's plain that Paul expected such trials. Paul himself faced many difficulties. He knew what persecution was. In Philippians 4, we read these words, which are Paul's. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In our current circumstances, are we content? It can be difficult to be content when we don't have the things we want or even need. Contentment is something we need to strive for and daily ask God for, because discontentment can creep into our lives. And that means we become bitter, angry, frustrated, and disappointed. We become disappointed because of our circumstances. It's going back to that word peace, isn't it? Paul was content because he could see life from God's perspective. He looked at life through a different lens. Paul's focus was on what God wanted him to do, and Paul was grateful. We can all feel empty inside at times. There's no doubt about that. How can we find true contentment just like Paul? We need to shift our perspective and our priorities. We need to lean on Christ and to daily ask for contentment. As a child, I always loved the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think part of that was because I loved saying their names. I thought they were pretty cool. But as time has gone on, their story and their response has resonated with me deeply. In Daniel 3, we read about their story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were pressured to deny God by Nebuchadnezzar, much like the persecuted church today, and serve Nebuchadnezzar's gods. Because they wouldn't, they were told that they would be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Here's their response in verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if he does not. God doesn't always rescue us. If he did, we wouldn't need faith. For first century Christians, suffering was expected. For us today, we are challenged to rejoice in our sufferings, not because we like pain or deny what is happening to us, but because we know that God uses life's difficulties to build our character. As we persevere and hang in there, we give God the glory by trusting in him. And as he holds us and strengthens us, that gives us hope. Hope is a word I love because without hope, there's nothing to look forward to. The New American Standard Bible puts verse 5 of our passage like this. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. Even in our suffering, God's Spirit provides a fresh experience of God's love. I expect Paul knew that these Roman Christians had had an experience of the Holy Spirit. For when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. All those who believe in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift, not a reward. And the Holy Spirit fills our lives with love. It's empowering to know that the Holy Spirit lives in us to guide, direct, comfort, and help us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The death of Christ was foretold in prophecy. Jesus came at the right time. God knew when that was. We couldn't save ourselves, so he sent Jesus. What makes the sacrifice of Christ so paradoxical is that it was undergone for sinners. We recently celebrated 75 years of VE Day, in which festivities took place in 1945 to mark the end of the Second World War. World War II is the deadliest military conflict in history. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Even when we were God's enemies, he sent Christ to die for us. Our passage ends with these amazing words. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, not because we were good enough, but because of God's great love for us. God loved us even before we turned to him. His love for us is all-encompassing. God truly loves us. I have used today's lectionary reading, and as I was preparing this, I thought, how apt this passage is for the time in which we are living. God's love can strengthen us in the darkest times of our lives. The hope that we have in Christ can shine brightly to those around us. Life may have taken us by surprise with its twists and turns, with its ups and downs. But as Christians, we have hope because of Jesus. Do you have that hope today? It is fitting for me to end with another quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She was somebody who knew about suffering. She says, "There have been some hard things in my life, of course, as there have been in yours, and I cannot say to you, I know exactly what you're going through, but I can say that I know the one who knows, and I've come to see that it's through the deepest suffering that God has taught me the deepest lessons. And if we'll trust him for it, we can come through to the unshakable assurance that he's in charge. He has a loving purpose, and he can transform something terrible into something wonderful." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are for us. We praise you for sending Jesus into the world. We ask, Lord, that you would draw each and every one of us into a deeper relationship with you. We pray, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that we would know guidance, that we would know help, that we would know support, and that we would feel your comfort when times are difficult. So be with us now as we all go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.